it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And at the very end, when it was over, when the Eagles were going to take a few knees, there was a mic'd up moment that went viral yesterday towards the end. I think Fox had it picked up and then pushed it out on social media. It's pretty quick, but this was Chris Jones and Jalen Hurts. So this is Jalen Hurts walking up to the line of scrimmage, basically about to, you know, ice the game.
2-0 start to the season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2 and hand Patrick Mahomes his first ever three-game losing streak.
So I don't know how well that came across, I'll be honest.
You didn't even have 100 yards.
Yeah, I don't know how well that came across on the radio. But yeah, go ahead, Cody. Sorry, read the question.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, that was... So Chris Jones says, you didn't even have 100 yards in talking about their passing game. And then you can hear Jalen Hurts said, we won the game. It's just a reminder.
He said, shut your ass up.
He is walking to the line of scrimmage for victory formation. This is one of the worst look that you want to talk about earlier when I was saying like signs of like, don't let him get to you. Don't crack. Don't start that. What are you doing? You're talking trash to a guy. He's walking up for victory formation. Now that says, I will say maybe that speaks to the problem that is currently with this team, which is it was not the defense's fault that they lost that game. So Chris Jones was like, we did our job. You didn't even get anything. Oh, look at you celebrating on offense. You didn't get anything. It's just not the time. I'm not saying you didn't do a good job. I'm not saying the defense didn't do a great job. We already talked about that. They clearly did. But your team's losing. If they're in victory formation, it's time to not say anything. That's like when the guys do the incomplete and you're down 30. You don't get to throw the first down marker up if you're down 50-10. Nobody cares you got a first down. It's not the time.
Yeah, that
it's
one's
not that you
one,
can't do it. It's that, like you just it's just not the time.
That's one of those mic'd up moments where I guess they weren't mic'd up, right? The mics picked it up, they weren't mic'd up, but where Eagles fans are going to love it, and they did. Eagles fans are going to love it, and if you're a Chiefs fan, that should irritate you because there's really nothing you can say on that one. There's nothing you can say on that one, you know. And that's when you just got to take the L.
You got to wear.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty good comeback. He's like, we won the game.
It's true, though. It's like,
get your ass up.
It is like, so true, yeah. Though. It's like, who cares what our stats look like? We just beat your ass. Like, it is true. Like, what are you
doing? And we beat you in the Super Bowl before. It's not even just
I don't know what was
one
that.
Team getting. I think he's just frustrated. They're just frustrated. They're not used to being in this spot. That's all it is. This is more than just normal. Like, we're holding each other accountable. It's an emotional game. We're showing our emotions. They're letting their frustration get the better of them at the end of these games. Yeah. I'm not saying it's costing them football games yet, but that was pretty clear.
And someone on the text line, I'm sure this is true, yes, from the 816, Guessmore was said during the game. Oh, I'm sure there was plenty of trash talk during the game. It's just like, hey, at that point, the game, you know you lost, and so you really can't say anything at that moment. But yeah, I'm sure plenty of trash talk was said throughout the entire game between both sides. You know there was.
Yeah.
Given the history that those two franchises now have with each other.
It just felt like kind of a sad moment where you're like, ugh. Like when you're yelling at each other, you're trying to hold each other accountable. There's a lot more understanding in it. When you're trying to trash talk the guy who's beaten you two times in a row in your last three games and you're off to an 0-2 start, like, it's just not the moment. Like, look, if you're a bad football teams do that. Bad football teams are like 4-11 and trash talking when they get the win. You're like, we're heading to the playoffs. Oh, no. Oh, you got me on that one? Good for you. You know, like Carolina Panthers. And they're not I don't think the Chiefs are a bad football team. I think they will still win a lot of games this year. Do I think that they're winning 14? They're going 14-3 like I predicted before the season? Can't say that I do, Gold. Can't say that if you let me alter my win projection, I won't alter it. I think that's fairly obvious based on the way that this is going. I just think they got to find a way to stabilize. I think a win will make them feel a lot better. I think for the Chiefs, this is a weird pace. They haven't won in...
It's been a bit. AFC title game.
Yeah, so like it just... For them, it's got to just feel bizarre. They don't remember what it's like to like walk up the field and win. Like, that's just got to be... And I get most teams had waited that long from the end of their regular season to the beginning of their regular season, but...
Everything is heightened and magnified. This is, I said, like, we're just not used to this in Kansas City
in
a long time.
It's because expectation.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
If you're Chris Jones and I think his internal thoughts maybe of the offense got vocalized a little bit there, where you know, traditionally he's been good at, I would say, keeping to himself how he feels about things. But I think his internal thoughts about how bad the offense has been, like, I did my job. It doesn't, like, as long as I did my job, then it's whatever. It's not my problem. Like, it felt like he was blaming the offense without blaming the offense in a way by him saying what he said. Like, he did.
Yeah. Like, he put it on the offense.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily a shot as much at Jalen Hurts as it was, we're doing our job, you know? And then Jalen Hurts had to remind him, yeah, and you guys still lost the game. I think Chris is, his internal thoughts of, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. The offense isn't, and they aren't getting the job done. That's what it comes across. Yeah, it comes across as that also.
Because in any individual game,
you're talking bad about your team in that same comment while you're trying to diss Jalen Hurts or whatever.
In a way, yeah. Yeah, I think it's like you got to read between the lines. But yeah, I think that there's a lot in that comment that says, I did everything I was supposed to do. We did what we were supposed to do. But Chris Jones didn't maintain outside leverage on the final play of the previous game.
Right, right.
So it's like, it's just not that you can't fire back on the other side of the offense or the defense if both sides are making mistakes.
And that's the thing, as we talk about the 0-2 start now, and the first time, you know, Mahomes has lost three in a row, if you include the Super Bowl, it's just hadn't happened in his career at all. It is a pretty crazy stat that it's taken this long, and also it had to include a Super Bowl for him to even get to that mark. That is true. But you said it at the end there, Cody, of that conversation about Chris Jones and the mistake last week. You know, why is this team 0-2? There's a long list, and we've worked through some of them today. Tomorrow we will talk more. We will talk about, you know, guys on staff as well, and I know some of you have texted in about play calling a lot. We'll get into all that tomorrow on the show. I think, you know, right this second, you know, how are they 0-2? In large part, yeah, it's all the offense. That's the huge chunk of the pie, I would put.
It's a way bigger part of the
issue. That's the bigger chunk. Defense is still on that pie chart, trust me, especially with last week's performance.
Andy Reid's game plan.
Matt Nagy, people want to put him on the pie chart pretty high on the list and all that. I get it. I think for me, though, you said it with Jones, your star and also highly paid players in 2 weeks have hurt you at times more than they helped you, shockingly. And that's not something we've typically seen. It's not something I think will continue, but it has happened. Travis Kelce, we went through it already. Of course, the interception this week. Last week, a mistake, at least he claims, on the route that led to a Worthy injury. You know, last week there was a short-armed route he broke off too early. That maybe was a touchdown as well.
Patrick Mahomes
has had some moments that obviously are incredible. He's also had some way overthrown footballs, including one to Tyquan Thornton yesterday.
The worst throw of his career.
That was crazy. I know they ended up getting a touchdown to Thornton later on that drive, so I guess it was a wash in that regard. But time-wise, it wasn't a wash. And then, you know, we're going through different moments of the first two games. But, you know, Juwan Taylor, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. There's too many of your key pieces that you should not be worrying about that have made crucial mistakes that have directly led to points or iced a game, you know, like last week on the 3rd and 14. That can't happen. That's how you're 0-2, especially when you're 0-2, not against, you didn't play the Saints and the Giants, who they're going to play Sunday. You know, you played the Chargers, who could be a real threat in the division. It looks like
could
they are
2-0 tonight.
Yeah, they play the Raiders, the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl, who I still think will end up being one of the top 2-3 teams in the NFC easily. I know the Packers are the flavor of the month and they look really, really good, but I think the Eagles are very likely to be one of the top 2 seeds still.
Yes,
they're gonna win their division. All that is still true. So you can't have those players making mistakes anyway. You can get away with that maybe against other teams. You're definitely not getting away with that against teams like the Eagles and the Chargers, and that's why they sit 0-2 and in a spot they haven't been in a very long time. 2014, the last time.
The 49ers are kind of a good example of what you're pointing out. The 49ers have just as many injuries as the Chiefs, and maybe worse, because they're without Brock Purdy. A very, very, very important player, turns out, because that's the starting quarterback. Now, he did play in week one. He didn't just play this week against the New Orleans Saints. But they're 2-0, despite not having George Kittle, missing Purdy for a game, missing some of their wide receivers for either injury or suspension and a million other things. And they're 2-0. So, like, you can't use injuries forever as an excuse. And this week will not be an excuse. And so if it's like, why are they 0-2? Like, if somebody just said, hey, Cody, why? I haven't watched the Chiefs yet this year. Why are the Chiefs 0-2? I would say, okay, one is part of it, like you said, the pie chart. Some of it is injury. Some of it is you're playing a difficult schedule and you don't have all your horses. But it's a much smaller portion than, I would say shooting yourself in the foot mistakes in both games where you were just allowing yourself to beat yourself. In the third quarter of that Chargers game, they got it back to 13-13. And this goes all the way across the board. You know, we haven't even mentioned the first two games. If Harrison Butker makes a kick, that an too. Extra point in a field goal in both of these games, they might win them.
That's
too.
Fair. Add him to the list of Jones and Kelsey and these guys
and
we're
guys
talking about.
You pay yeah. the highest at their position. Sure. If you're the highest paid interior defensive lineman, you're the highest paid offensive tackle. If you're the highest paid, of those guys and you're making mistakes, and the Chiefs have a few of them, they're all on that. It feels so self-inflicted still.
It is.
Versus like the other team is just taking you out of your game at times. It feels so self-inflicted.
I think it is. Now we're talking specific what's happened the last 2 weeks, but let's step back a little bit. I think if we're being honest, there's certainly decisions that have been made, whether it's this offseason or others, that also may have contributed to why they're up against it the way they're up against it, right? Like the running back thing, we've said it for a few weeks now, going back to around the draft, we said it, and that was we did not feel they addressed the running back room the way they should have in the offseason.
Yes.
And the offensive line run scheme short yards has been a problem for years. So this is not unique to just Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco in the year 2025. However, the explosiveness, it was very evident. I thought this offseason we were worried the day they re-signed Kareem Hunt. I remember Josh Briscoe walked in studio like 5 minutes after it happened. And we were like, I don't like this. Does this mean this means they're not going to really spend a high draft pick on a running back? And some people were trying to talk us off that the ledge a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up waiting until the seventh round to take a running back. They didn't, you know, in free agency, they spent money on Elijah Mitchell, who hasn't been active, by the way, in two games, correct? Was he active?
No.
Two inactives to start. And he was this offseason signing. I'm not saying they spent a lot of money on either of those, Hunt or Mitchell. Nothing in the grand scheme of things. But the point being is they used a seventh round pick and then two veteran deals, essentially like $1 million or $2 million. And then they obviously still had Isaiah Pacheco. And I'm totally fine with Pacheco being on this team.
The wide receivers being the weapons.
I understand. And that's why we'll see in a couple weeks. Kareem Hunt looks like their best running back right now, which is, I still think, a major problem if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And so they did not address the running back room. That is a off-season issue, a months ago problem that has led also to some of this issue that they're experiencing in the first couple weeks of the season.
They had one play where I think it was a third down and they had Kareem Hunt in and Mahomes threw a flat route to him where he needed to get set. He's not the running back to do, like, he's not.
I gotta say,
he's not the guy for that sort of a thing. And there was
Hunt and the speed of Pacheco, if that makes sense. That back is not on the roster.
We're a couple of weeks away from saying, "Are you sure?" Just hand it to Rashard Smith. It doesn't have to be on third down if you don't like it in the protection end. There's no harm pretty soon here of just seeing if he can run the ball better. I did look it up earlier. Someone was asking me over on the YouTube chat. It's like, how many times did Tom Brady lose three games in a row? Twice. He lost three. That's it. In his whole NFL career, that man played until he was 45.
Yeah. They did have a year they started 0-2, and I think they won the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Twice. Well, the last time the Chiefs went to the AFC title.
But you're talking about Brady right now. So
Brady lost three games in a row two times. His first time was in his third NFL season in 2002. They lost three games in a row. They finished 9-7, and they missed the playoffs. The next time he lost three games in a row was 2022 with the Bucks. That's how long he went.
Yeah.
That's what Mahomes is doing, though.
Yeah.
Mahomes has been in the league for 7 years, and this is the first time he's lost three games in a row.
He turns 30 tomorrow or Wednesday or something.
Yeah, and we got to take the Super Bowl from last year just to get to the three games in a row, not three regular season games in a row, a Super Bowl and two games against playoff teams. The one thing that's giving me some hope is those are two very good football teams. They're not playing good. They don't have all their weapons. They have a lot of things going wrong, but they have played what I think will be two teams that will end up combining for probably 25 wins, maybe 24 wins, but somewhere in that range between those two teams. Chargers will probably win 11 or 12 games, and I think the Eagles will win a 12 or 13 games. And if you start looking at two teams like that, you're not playing your best, and you actually had a chance to win both of those football games. At least I can see the correctable areas in which your team can improve. They're clearly in that. Like, I'm not worried about them missing the playoffs yet. I don't feel like we have to entertain
that conversation.
Way
too early for
that.
It still is way too early for
that. Do I think the one seed's dead? Probably. Yeah, but I didn't get into that. I mean, that's probably dead, but.
Didn't think they were getting the one. I mean, this is not revisionist history. Bills, to me, were always getting the number one seed this season. And some people may not like that, but based on their division, their schedule, I did not think that was in play this year anyway. The question is the division in jeopardy? And I think we'll learn a little bit even more after tonight. The one thing I'll still say about the division, no matter how ugly it is to be 0-2, you get the Chargers at home another time. You still have two against the Broncos and you have two against the Raiders. So that's why I refuse to say even if the Chargers get off to a 2-0 start, that the division's over. You have way too many games against divisional opponents to go.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, all but one.
That's why you should be rooting for, if you're a Chiefs fan, you should be rooting for the Raiders tonight.
Someone says,
you got both your games against the Raiders. Like, well, it's just it's less risk. You'd rather.
Oh, no, 100%.
You know, the belief in the Raiders' bigger picture is not nearly the belief in the Chargers or Broncos.
No, 100%. Yeah.
And you still have both your games against the Raiders. So technically, if you're two games behind them, you can negate that completely by just beating them twice. You can't do that with the Chargers.
I'm curious. I know we're going to break a little bit early to get to Andy. Somebody had texted about the onside kick thing. Did they? To me,
pitiful effort.
I questioned. Well, the kick was awful, but
those are a waste of time.
But I don't understand why they didn't. I think that gave off to me the vibe that Andy didn't trust the defense to get a stop.
They didn't have any timeouts left. I think that was
because if they kicked it deep and you get the stop, at least they're not in field goal range. Where the Eagles were in field goal range anyway. Like, let's say the Chiefs get the stop, the Eagles can still kick a field goal and make it. And they go up six. Where if you get the stop, you get a good punt return. Who knows? All you need is a field goal instead of a touchdown.
There were a couple of weirdo ones. I probably would have gone for it on that 4th and 7 as well with 7 minutes to go. It felt like you're just punting on the game obviously, they were still in it, but it still kind of felt that way. So
I was fine with the 4th and 1 right out of the half. I had on their own 30 something. I had no issue with the decision, but yeah, it's the play call. You can you cannot like the play call of the execution. You can still like the decision. That's one of those where I actually love the aggressiveness. I felt and he could tell like they needed the momentum coming out of half. It backfired, led to free 3 points. I know the final score was 3 as well. You know, we can play that game all day long. I had no problem with the decision, but I didn't like the play call. You know, on the 3rd and 1, they passed, and they ran on it on the 4th and 1.
Yeah. Part of it is just like running it up the middle on 4th and 1 when Patrick Mahomes is, I don't know, maybe the best third down running quarterback of a generation. Like, he's legitimately great.
I would run a passing play over what they try to do sometimes.
Patrick Mahomes to be able to get the yard.
Let him make the decision.
Yeah. I agree. If we're not going to run a QB sneak, no more running it up the middle with Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt. We got to give Patrick Mahomes the dual option of either or, not just one or the other. That's all. Although going back to the earlier part of the show, I would just prefer that they do a QB sneak like a normal team.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.